Hello, welcome to the Monday, July 22nd, 2013 edition of the Sands and its Storm Centers Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich, and I'm today recording from Washington, D.C. We got a couple of interesting diaries today to cover. First of all, Manuel is showing how Nmap can be used to find internet gateways. An IP gateway will receive packets on one interface and of course forward it to an appropriate second interface. To detect if a host is a gateway, Nmap crafts a packet to an external IP address and then assembles an Ethernet frame using the suspected gateway's MAC address. This way, the Ethernet frame will be passed to the suspected gateway, and if that host is indeed a gateway, it will then pass it on to the external IP address. Now, what Nmap does is that it uses ICMP echo requests. The recipient may respond then, and Nmap then detects the ICMP echo reply if it is again returned by the gateway. In addition to ICMP echo requests, I would suggest you probably should also try some TCP SYN packets, for example, to port 80, using the same Ethernet header to make sure that the gateway doesn't just happen to block ICMP echo requests. Of course, a lot of gateways do that, and that's why it helps to be a little bit more flexible in the kind of packets that you try out. And Guy gave us two diaries, one about regular expressions and a second one with news from Canonical that the Ubuntu forum website was hacked. The attacker retrieved salted and hashed passwords, usernames, and email addresses. The announcement does not specify which hashing algorithm is used, but suggests changing your password on all other sites on which you used that same password. Of course, they will force you to reset your password once they get the forum back up. Right now, it is down pending a full investigation of the problem. But one other thing I would a little bit concerned about is phishing emails. For example, with the attacker knowing your email address, your forum usernames, they could craft a pretty convincing phishing email asking you to reset your password as a result of the breach. And as part of yet another Black Hat pre-release, it was announced that a German researcher, Carsten Knoll, found a relatively widespread vulnerability in SIM cards used in mobile phones. SIM cards are smart cards, so they don't just contain a certificate, like, for example, a USB stick or a storage device would contain, but they actually do cryptography on the card itself, and they actually are able to parse programs written in Java card. Java card is sort of a subset of Java commands that smart cards understand. As part of the ability to update and patch cards for different carriers, for example, it is possible to send a special SMS message to the phone. These messages have to be correctly signed using the key that is implemented by the carrier and that is trusted by the card. So if you buy a SIM card from a particular carrier, it usually comes with these trusted keys, but also has its own key that's then used to authenticate the card to the network. If the signature is incorrect, the phone will of course return an error message. As it turns out, one of the tricky parts here is that some SIM cards will include their own signature with the error message, so the error message itself will be signed. You may not consider that a bad thing if the message is signed, but it happens that, again, some carriers use single DES instead of a stronger encryption algorithm. In this case, it's now possible to brute force the key that was used to sign the message using rainbow tables. And that's really here what Carsten Knoll found. And he implemented this attack, and within a minute, he can now brute force the key, and then knowing this key, he is now able to send a correct message to the SIM card, and that message will be parsed. So now the attacker can run Java card code on the SIM card. This Java card code could then be used to, for example, send premium SMS messages. That's something we have seen in some mobile Trojans, for example. It could also be used to reroute calls and, as a result, allow eavesdropping. Not only that, you may know that Java interpreters are not always that perfectly implemented. Turns out that some of these Java cards are not perfect either, and then can be rooted as a result. Normally, the Java card code does execute in its sandbox, just like what we're used to from Java. But if we can break out of the sandbox, then you can have access to all kinds of fancy functionality of SIM cards, like, for example, payment functions that are usually sandboxed off. On the positive side, it doesn't look like too many carriers are vulnerable to this particular attack. For example, AT&T Mobile in the US uses different encryption algorithms, not a single DES. Neither do carriers in Germany, where the research was performed. Also, it looks like only about 1 in 8 SIM cards, if I read the press release correctly, do return error messages that are signed. Well, that's it for today. So thanks again for listening, and talk to you again tomorrow.